Beloved, let us pray together. Gracious God, we praise you that you are the Creator God, you are the Word, and we thank you for the Word written and the Word and fleshed in Jesus Christ. We ask you now that you would be opening our hearts and minds and wills to your Word read and proclaimed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to the gospel lesson from John 11, 17 through 35 and 41 through 44. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who saw her, who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. And continuing with verse 41. So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy to be with you, the beloved congregation at Knox Presbyterian Church this morning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If anyone thought that Christianity was an irrelevant religion for our time, for the modern age, I'd want to share this tender words that Jesus said. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Death is not an old, irrelevant thing that happened to ancient people in history. Each of us, all of us, we share a common mortality with all humans of every time and place. And there are mourners in every time and place, even here and even now. And one day, and on some very hard days along our lives, we will be those mourners needing comfort and consolation from friends, from God. Earlier this summer, I was in Salzburg, Austria, for a conference and stopped by Mozart's childhood home there. A striking moment in the short tour for me was coming across this note, a note written by the young, hysterically genius pianist, the celebrated composer of major symphonies, who at age 22, at the death of his mother, wrote these simple composed words in a telegraph. "Friends, mourn with me. This is the saddest day of my life, for my dear mother is no more." Whether you know Mozart's music or care for it, reading these words composed by this young composer, you care for his heart and resonate with his plea. "Friends, mourn with me." I jotted down these words in my notebook because I think they teach those of us who are silent or private with our sadness. They also teach those of us who'd rather not talk about death, literally not talk about it, avoiding the D word as if it were too finite. In our sincere attempt to make the aching punch of death more polite, we say of someone who has died, for example, "She has passed on," or that "She is asleep with the Lord," or that "The Lord needed her more than we." So even to say "she is no more," as Mozart did of his mother, it just feels too blunt. Even if that is the reality for us, who must live in a world where our loved one who has died no longer exists, walking around the house, saying good morning. It is a world that no longer makes sense, a world we do not know we can survive. Jesus is not shy about death. Early in the chapter, when the disciples didn't quite get what Jesus was saying to them in his own attempt at easing the news of Lazarus's death, the scripture says in verse 14, "Then Jesus told the disciples plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.'" Jesus knows that death is a real thing, that in our life there is death. That for some, for many, our greatest fear is dying or living with the death of someone we love. Jesus knows that death, detachment, and our despair from experiencing the no more of our loved ones is the hardest thing. So in today's passage, Jesus walks right into our unsolvable sadness. He comes to Martha and Mary's home after the death of their brother Lazarus. And here, with Martha and Mary, and with all the mourners who have come to console them, Jesus comes face to face with death, heart to heart with grief. It is in this chapter that we come across that famous, shortest, tenderest verse in Scripture. Jesus wept. You know, Jesus had a special relationship with these siblings, Martha and Mary, the well-known sisters that many readers of the Bible we have come to know. It is here only in John's gospel that we learn that they have a brother, Lazarus, whom I always assumed as the older brother to Martha and Mary. And only now I realize, I assume this because I have sisters and we have an older brother. I learned this week that my husband James, who has a younger brother, always knew that Lazarus was the youngest of the three. Now, adding this newfound perspective to my reading of this story, Lazarus' death all of a sudden feels even more tender and deeply more sorrowful, as I imagine two older sisters doing everything they could to save their little brother. How much they must have cried when he died. How they loved him. When Jesus arrives 4 days late, after Lazarus' body was put in the burial cave, Jesus is moved with compassion, seeing Martha and Mary as they mourn. And he is moved to his own tears. Jesus' tears are different, though, I think. They are not tears for the regret that he didn't come in time to heal Jesus, heal Lazarus before he died. Or his tears were not necessarily for missing his beloved friend who has died. For Jesus already knew that in a short while he would call Lazarus out from stone cold death. I think Jesus' tears were over watching this scene. People mourning, crying, sobbing, having to deal with the devastation blow of death, trying with their human might to comfort one another. Maybe his tears that day in Bethany was his visible indignation against the power death had over the people he so loved, over the world he so loved. Death is not what God intended for creation. And Jesus has compassion for us, we who are struck by and stuck with death. Jesus weeps with us. Jesus weeps watching over us. Earlier this year, in my rotation as a hospital chaplain, I entered a silent room of two mourning parents. Just 2 hours before I arrived, the couple had said their final words to their child, born only to die in their arms. The harsh fluorescent light of that hospital room seemed so crudely to expose the reality of death that strike us ordinary people who do not have the extraordinary strength to endure death's pain. Yet here we were, three humans, with all our might, all our love, all our hope, with all our despair and anger and grief together. And though I made several attempts to compose words, no sounds uttered out of my mouth. I stood there in silence, bearing witness to death's devastation. The couple began to talk, sharing their heartache, their disbelief. I listened to them, saying that they do not have any religious belief. They wondered if I had some words to help them. And a prayer arose so concisely within me. Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Bring comfort in the midst of this despair. The prayer within me gave me confidence to draw near their unsolvable sadness and stay with them where they are, as they are. I offered out loud words from Scripture. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I would learn later that at a family gathering to plant a tree for their child, the couple marked that act of love with those words from 1 Corinthians 13. I believe Jesus' compassion for that young couple is the same love that moved his compassion to tears and his spirit to be disturbed when his beloved friends in Bethany mourned their brother's death. On that day in Bethany, Jesus' tears moved into actions toward life. He begins by comforting Martha and Mary and calling each of them to believing in him. He first meets Martha, for it's Martha that runs out of the house when she sees that Jesus was coming. And it's unclear the tone in Martha's voice as she greets Jesus, whether it is expressed disappointment, hurt, or faith. For she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." With all the longing and sorrow, complaining and believing her words encompassed, Jesus comforts Martha, saying, "Your brother will rise again." And when she didn't quite get the fullness of the truth Jesus was telling her, Jesus comforts her again with this final word, proclaiming life over death. "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" To this revelation of Christ, Martha boldly declares her faith. "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the one coming into the world." She believed. She wanted to believe and to believe correctly. Though she could not understand everything fully, she believed by making this profession of faith, even in and perhaps especially in her time of mourning. "Yes, Lord. I believe you are the resurrection and the life, as you say you are." Now Mary, upon hearing that Jesus had come, she runs to Jesus and kneels at his feet, saying exactly what Martha had said to Jesus. But here we can almost detect the tone in Mary's voice, for she was likely sobbing and pleading for Jesus to comfort her now, for he was not there when they had to face that terrible moment when Lazarus died. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." To the same plea of the sisters' mourning, Jesus responds differently. Verse 33. When Jesus saw Mary weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus began to weep. Jesus encounters Martha and Mary each in their mourning and leads them each to their believing. But his engagements with each person is different, for Jesus loves each one of us as we are, where we are, and comforts us as we are, where we are, and in his eternal wisdom calls each of us in a particular story of faith into life abiding with God. The Christian faith is not something we obtain. It is not something we have or possess. Life abiding with God is not found in a neat, systemized collection of beliefs. Faith is believing. It is ongoing, and it has many expressions. Sometimes we believe by speaking aloud, joining the confessional words of the faith community, saying, "I believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I believe in God, the creator of heaven and earth. My only comfort in life and in death is that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Lord Jesus Christ." And sometimes believing happens by acting out love. Love for Jesus and love for the world he loves. After Lazarus is unbound from all that cloth, in the next chapter we find Mary at Jesus' feet again, at that time breaking open a jar of expensive perfume to anoint Jesus' feet and wiping them with her hair. When everyone is shocked by her wasteful and questionable actions, Jesus tells them to leave her alone, for her believing is in her act of love for the Savior of the world. Her statement of belief was lived out in her life through her expressive outpoured love for Christ, whose love for the world was much more lavish than what she or we now can imagine. Like Mary, our faith may look like coming before Jesus with all our tears, all our longings, all our complaints, our hurts, our regrets laid bare, believing with our bodies, praying on our knees, lifting up our hands, doing what our believing calls us to do, and going where Jesus sends us to go. Jesus loved Martha, and Jesus loved Mary, and Jesus loved their brother Lazarus deeply. For it was by Christ's love that Martha comes to profess her statement of faith. It was by Christ's love that Mary cried aloud her need for consolation and set to live out her faith in brave and bold, tender and loving acts of devotion. It was by Christ's love that he called out, "Lazarus, come out." And it is by Christ's love that we hear this morning, "I am the resurrection and the life." It is an invitation for you and me to believe anew or to believe again. And if this belief is yet elusive and you are seeking for certainty to understand how exactly this resurrection business works, or need to see the evidence for yourself that Jesus can resurrect the dead before you can confess with your mouth and believe with your heart, you are in good company. And I believe Jesus will meet you now, where you are, as you are. And perhaps you will find encouragement in what Jesus tells his disciples. When they could not fully understand this life of abiding with God, Jesus had been teaching them all along. In his closing act of love in John's gospel, Jesus says to the disciples, "You do not yet know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Full understanding of our faith may come later. That certainty of belief some of us are waiting for will come later, for faith is not a certainty of belief. Faith inherently requires a certain risk. It is an ongoing believing in God who reveals life and love again and again so that we may believe again and again. Until the day that our faith is perfected and we see the full glory of God, until our faith profession can be complete and exact and certain. Until that day, there's plenty to do. Plenty to do if we are eager to live out both our sure and tentative beliefs into actions of believing. Love one another. Forgive one another. Wash one another's feet. Tend to the sick, give food to the hungry, help those who are weak, visit the imprisoned, speak up for justice, and when you're not sure what to do or where to go, simply just love. For in so doing, you are believing in Jesus Christ. I think of that young couple often, the young couple I met in the hospital, and I think about the silence that filled the space between us, expressing so fully the deep sorrow thick in that time and place. And sometimes I wonder if I should have declared my statement of faith in that room, declaring it out loud, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I do not know what would have happened. I also do not know the why of such unfair and painful tragedies. I do not know how to make things better when the hurt will not go away in others or in me. And I live with these questions, even as I keep believing in what I have heard Jesus say. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I keep believing in the power that is stronger than death, that is able to call us out from despair into the sweet mysteries of life. As Barbara Brown Taylor writes, we have a God who resurrects us from the dead, putting an end to death by working through it instead of around it, creating life in the midst of grief, creating love in the midst of loss, creating faith in the midst of despair, resurrecting us from our big and little deaths. So, beloved, let us keep believing. For Jesus came to love and forgive, heal and comfort, pray and proclaim so that we may believe. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Amen.